$10 million per Bitcoin, that sounds great. I wouldn't be complaining, but I also know it's not going to stop there.
I'm just happy that Satoshi, you know, predicted that human beings are going to be this retarded at some point and, you know, protected the network against this bickering.
The big assumption being made here is that we have the gold, because that audit that Elon discussed live with cameras never happened.
The last thing you want is digital money that can be turned off, that can be manipulated, that for some reason doesn't work until you comply with some order.
At some point, once their situation gets desperate enough, I think we're going to start seeing a colossal movement towards Bitcoin. And people are going to start, you know, mastering these two words, self-custody.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony here with me. Gents, let's jump right in. So we've got the world's highest recorded IQ holder, an IQ of 276. Didn't know it even went to that. I'm not going to say his name because I couldn't pronounce it properly. He says that Bitcoin is going to 100x over the next 10 years and become the global reserve currency. That's $10 million per Bitcoin, and we're only at 110K right now. I'm going to quickly play a clip from Tony speaking, saying something along those lines last year at BTC Prague.
Because whatever amount of Bitcoin you think you have now will be worth considerably more in the near future. We have never seen an asset like it. It's finite in supply. You can't possibly imagine how valuable this asset is because we are not living in the future yet. But the future is headed to a Bitcoin standard because it's the only one, it's the only asset that we can trust, the only asset that at some point governments will have to adopt because none of them trust each other. So what are they going to standardize on? They're going to standardize on the asset that they know the other one doesn't have, another country doesn't have an advantage over them with. And in my personal opinion, I wouldn't be surprised that in the very near future, Bitcoin, anything attempting to disrupt the Bitcoin network will be considered a crime.
All righty. So, Tony, we always suspected, but you might actually be the highest IQ in the world. I would love for you to comment on your prediction. That sounded a lot like what this young man is saying. Where do you think Bitcoin is headed over the next decade?
Well, for starters, I've never had an IQ test, so I have no idea where I rank. But if, you know, someone making such an obvious prediction is ranking so high, well then thank you very much, because because a year and a half ago to me it was crystal clear that this is going to happen at some point, for the simple reason that, you know, these clowns don't trust each other, and so they are never ever going to agree on something that they think someone else has an edge over them with. And because this is the first time such an asset exists, you know In humanity, well, now it's a viable option. Now that we've dispelled the myths that it's, you know, internet funny money, that it's going to get blown up, that's going to get hacked, and all that, you know, rubbish that's been spewed for so long. Now that that's out of the way, well, now it's time to take it seriously. And so when they fail trying to kill it, well, at some point they're going to just, you know, adopt it. And that's what I think is going to happen. So if you understand this from now, you are like, holy cow, early into this, because when that day comes, it'll happen overnight.
Yeah, I think that's well said. So I would put your IQ somewhere in the 280s, maybe 290, but appreciate that you were at the forefront of this. Greer, do you agree with Tony?
Yeah, I think 10 million per Bitcoin does sound smart. I think it's fun to think about. I also remember in 2021, Fidelity put out an article that said in 2038, one Bitcoin will be $1 billion. So I think, you know, no matter how you skin this cat, it's going to be exciting to watch. I think unfortunately, you know, what we're seeing is that there aren't that many people that are using Bitcoin. And unfortunately for humanity, you know, many people are too busy scrolling, watching cat videos, you know, doing sports betting, and are missing the opportunity of a lifetime. I think that Bitcoin is the easiest thing to get into. Once you understand it, it becomes a little bit irresistible. So I think, you know, 10 million per Bitcoin, that sounds great. I wouldn't be complaining, but I also know it's not going to stop there.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I don't make price predictions, and I don't know what $10 million is going to be worth in 10 years. I think the point is that the purchasing power of Bitcoin is going to drastically increase in the coming years and decades. So I think that's something we can all look forward to. All righty, guys, we have to touch on Nick Szabo coming back onto Twitter. So he responded. He went on like a string of tweets, reposts, like all this stuff. So Callie said that fees are the spam filter. They've been working great for almost 17 years. And Nick said fees protect the miners. They don't provide enough disincentive to protect the full nodes. That's always been a problem, of course, but increasing the op return allowance will likely make this problem worse. It will also increase legal risks. Greer, you've been tweeting a lot of memes and fun content related to the Knots versus Core debate. I would love to hear your take on hearing Nick chime in now.
It was awesome to see Nick jump in kind of by surprise to me. And I think he's one of the cooler heads. He has a legendary background. He is a lawyer. He's a polemoth. I mean, Nick is probably one person you don't want to argue with publicly. And I think it's incredible that he came out on the side of Knots, but it really shouldn't surprise us. You know, I think history will judge the node runners, the people who have decided to run Knots, as maybe we are not as technical as a dev, but we do have the right reasons for wanting to protect our mempools. And so I think, you know, when I see the tweet from Calais, it looks to me like he's defending miners, and mining is way too centralized. I think if you're a pleb, you should be running a solo miner. Even if your hash rate is not that significant, we do win with scale. So I think protecting the mempool, running a solo miner at home, being part of the network with your own node, this is how you can vote and participate. And ultimately, I think you'll learn a lot more about Bitcoin than if you were just to purchase it and hold it and store it on your hardware wallet.
Yeah, I tend to side with the Knots camp because I I'm not technical enough, and nor do I feel qualified to determine all of the unintended consequences of any direction. And I've seen I think valid and good faith arguments from both sides in certain circumstances. In general, though, what I just absolutely hate is the way that the core devs have gone about the change. And they keep on brushing it off as a tiny, noisy minority of you know, Knots proponents. And I just see no evidence of that whatsoever. I understand that they have to make these determinations about what they consider in a relatively small group. But then I think you need some level of consensus. If it's this contentious, they just need to put it on hold and then revisit it if many of the problems that they anticipate trying to resolve with that change come about or increase. So in the meantime, I'm running Knots for the same reason. And I suspect you're right. I don't think, and Tony, I know you don't think this kills Bitcoin. I don't think this kills Bitcoin, but we can, I think we can, Bitcoin can operate better or worse, even if it doesn't die. And my sense is if we can do what we, even just the smallest things to mitigate spam, we're going to be better off for it. It is a monetary network. That's why we're all here, peer-to-peer electronic cash. And to pretend like we're here for the protection of a general purpose database is stupid in my view. Tony, what's your take?
I'm just happy that Satoshi, you know, predicted that human beings are going to be this retarded at some point. And, you know, protected the network against this bickering. This is why I'm not really concerned that this is going to be an existential threat to Bitcoin. It's not. But it's such a convoluted debate that, you know, you read one thing and you think you understand it, and then something else pops up, which also makes sense. And so your average person is always bouncing back and forth between, you know, one side or another, but at the end of the day, not really knowing where they stand. These are all intelligent people, clearly, you know, making, you know, these claims. If everybody had, you know, taken this approach initially with this clear, easy to understand, open-minded conversational debate, we would have avoided all of this toxicity in the space. But of course, you know, human nature tends to be what it is, and you get this convoluted mess. So ironically, this very same debate apparently happened 15 years ago, and I think Satoshi was involved in that debate. There was an X account that posted it. I forget its name, but it's literally the exact same conversation. And, you know, you fast forward to today, and I mean, we're back, right back to where that thing started. At the end of the day, you stand with for, you know, what you want to see. Bitcoin as a monetary ledger, this is what I want to see. And of course, I will always support any effort to keep junk and spammers off of it. Now, you know, what these efforts are and what they look like, who knows? Who knows what the future will tell? But at least I'm very bullish on the market response. There are way more people paying attention and wanting to keep Bitcoin alive and fighting for its survival, because the end game here, guys, it's not, you know, one side versus the other. It is the separation of money and state. That is the one and only objective here. So we can't be wasting time bickering on this nonsense, who's right and who's wrong. We have to keep, you know, focused on what's at stake. And that is the our freedom, our time and energy. And the only way we do this is by, you know, ensuring that the separation of money and state happens.
Run a damn node. And if you are playing it safe, run Core 29. And if you want to make a statement, run Knots. That's sort of my take. Alrighty, U.S. gold reserves hit $1 trillion in value after record rally. I think the big assumption being made here is that we have the gold, because that audit that Elon discussed live with cameras never happened. So I'd also note that this is about half of the value of our annual deficit that we run. And so not really that big of a freaking deal in my view. Tony, anything to get excited about as an American?
No, man. No, nothing at all, man. I don't even know. Like you said, I don't even know if this gold actually exists. That imaginary audit, you know, it came and left, you know, like a gust of wind. Nobody talks about this anymore. And $1 trillion reserves. I mean, if you look what this Fiat hawk posts, he's spot on. Like, who cares? They have over $37 trillion in debt. So, all right, it's a nice headline. But beyond that, you know, move on.
Greer?
Yeah, I think until we get a tour of Fort Knox, it's safe to say that our gold reserves are probably as secure as your seed phrase in iCloud storage. So I think, you know, this $1 trillion would pay a year of the interest on our national debt. So it's really nothing, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree. So kind of a big nothing burger. It's just a big round number that people can get excited about for no reason. All righty, we've talked about this one a lot lately. So this is from the European Central Bank, okay? The digital euro keeps you in control of your money, your choices, and your future in an increasingly fragmented world. I've never heard a greater lie. Greer, take this one. Rail against the European Central Bank. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, I heard there are at least six lies within this. It doesn't put you in control of your money. It doesn't give you the choices that you need. And it is extremely dangerous. So I think for the average person, the last thing you want is digital money that can be turned off, that can be manipulated, that for some reason doesn't work until you comply with some order. Imagine going to a computer screen or an ATM or on your phone, and the system is down and it won't let you authenticate until you've given them your biometric ID. And then once you've done that, they control what you spend. Imagine a world where your taxes are automatically deducted from your account, or your paid fines from your account. I think we can all look at China and what they've done to their society, and it is not freedom. It's the opposite of freedom. It's a shame that this is coming to Europe. I think it's coming to the rest of the world as well. And thankfully, we have a solution. But what's important is that more people are using Bitcoin. That is the key to getting out of this situation.
I think this is the hill that we die on, right? I mean, if you are in Europe and they are going to push this, it's sort of like the way I view hate speech laws, right? It sounds like this nice idea, but you either have freedom of speech or you don't have freedom of speech. And the people who are going to ultimately decide what is hate speech are the last people in the entire universe that you want deciding what is hate speech, because they're going to do whatever they can to impose tyranny on culture for their own personal benefit. And the same is true, and perhaps more importantly so, when it comes to how you use and spend your money. This is, I mean, the ultimate slippery slope is a CBDC. So avoid it at all costs. Adopt Bitcoin. Make sure that you can exchange value peer-to-peer without any intermediaries, because it looks like in Europe, especially right now, it's coming, and you're going to need that life raft. So, Tony, would you add anything to that?
No, man, nothing more except like the digital ID. You want to stay away from this garbage, you know, as fast as possible. It's just a noose around your neck. Nothing good's going to come out of this.
Well said. Alrighty, Simply Bitcoin shared, boomers plan to retire at 60 with $150K. Now they need $1 million and many are still working. Gen X needs 1.5 million. Millennials need 3 million. Gen Z, 5 million. Those numbers even seem low to me, honestly, at this point, because Gen Z ain't retiring for a long time. And if we continue to see, I mean, the prints are going to be 3% or whatever, but if we continue to see real inflation of 7, 10, 15%, I don't think they're going to get there with any lifestyle that they want to have. Again, keep stacking Bitcoin or start stacking Bitcoin. Tony, you've seen this play out in real time, obviously, in Lebanon. What would your message be to those, especially on the younger crowd, the Gen Zs, the millennials, who have a much broader time horizon?
If the younger generation feels that they have no hope for a good life, you risk having a very dangerous society, because these guys are going to be looking for anything and everything as a distraction to make them feel better. And that usually turns into a horror show very quickly. The money's broken. There's no fixing the money. There's no creative solution from the legacy system that's going to fix anything. It's only going to make it worse, either by enslaving you entirely or by, you know, inflating your purchasing power to pretty much nothing. As of 2008, a solution exists, but unfortunately, too many people still to this day are not aware of it, or worse, they're aware of it but don't believe it for whatever moronic reason. At some point, once their situation gets desperate enough, I think we're going to start seeing a colossal movement towards Bitcoin. And people are going to start, you know, mastering these two words, self-custody, and doing everything under the sun to learn these skills as fast as possible, because it's going to be like their oxygen at that point to survive. So these are very alarming numbers. It's a very dire picture. But, you know, there is an answer. You simply need to pay attention and take the steps.
Yeah, I think that's a great point and a great way of framing it. We've already seen like the cultural rot. You know, everyone's speculating, everyone's gambling, everyone's trying to get their quick fix for their, you know, obvious financial dilemma. But you don't, if you're Gen Z, you don't have to be rich tomorrow. Like that's not like the state of nature or something. You need to build your wealth over time. The obvious solution to that, in my view, someone who's been studying Bitcoin for 3 years with, you know, every single day, is just buy Bitcoin, take it to self-custody. Greer, what would you add to that?
I think this is great news if you reflect on the first story that we talked about. 10 million per Bitcoin. That means Gen Z only needs half a Bitcoin. Millennials need 0.3. You know, those are big numbers, considering that most Americans don't have either $500 or $1,000. But if you do have a job and you have income and you have a way to create value, this is the target. You know, get to a half a Bitcoin at some point in your life. The same for millennials. I think that, you know, we've gone through some tough times economically, and they're only going to continue. So I think if these are the numbers, if you were to retire today, is my guess. And so, yeah, these numbers are going to go up, which means you don't stop stacking. You find a way to provide value and put that all that time and energy into Bitcoin.
Greer, I think you hit on maybe the most important part. I think a lot of people today, they're like, well, I can only put in, you know, $50 a month or $100 a month, which I think just, okay, start, like begin stacking. But adding value, at the end of the day, when we migrate to a sound money standard, which is coming, it's called Bitcoin, the only way that somebody is going to part ways with their sound money that we call Bitcoin is if you are providing real value to them. The day of like selling bullshit trinkets online and stuff, like it's going to go away. I'm never parting ways with my Bitcoin over something that I couldn't care less about, but I can just get for a few fiat bucks, you know? So start building skills, adding value, finding ways to solve problems. And I think that's going to get you much, much further than any of the gambling or reckless speculation that most people are doing today. Okay, guys. So Canada, they've been through so hot for us too. Canada's forcing all Canadians to hand in their guns. You have 1 year to get compensation. Starting in October 2026, it will become criminal to own a gun in Canada. This is how all authoritarian regimes, like true evil authoritarian regimes, begin. We saw it in Germany in the 1930s. We've seen it all over the place. Greer, Any advice for our Canucks up to the north?
Yeah, they say you have, it's easy to vote your way into communism, but you have to shoot your way out. And I think that's sort of some dark humor on the situation. If you didn't already have enough reasons to leave Canada, I know how tough it is to leave family and friends and the place where you live and grew up, but it's really coming down to, it's getting real. This happened in many other countries. Australia did a big gun buyback program. And when you see the government come for the weapons, that's sort of your flag. The canary in the coal mine's already dead. It's, the coal mine is crashing and you just have a little bit of time to get out. I think that this is very dangerous. I don't know how you would handle this, but I know for me, if I was there, I would be selling what I owned and moving to a better place.
Tony, I bet you want to piggyback off of that.
Of course, man. Whenever I read that the government wants to take away your guns, to me, it tells me that they're going to come and kill you in one way, shape, or form soon thereafter. So it must be very aggravating to Canadians that have a clue living, within a country that, clearly the masses don't. Politically speaking, they voted one clown out to vote a bigger, worse one in right after, right? No resistance on the street. Then they passed the law where they couldn't even go for a walk in their own forests, even if it's in their own backyard. No pushback. Now they're telling them, give up your guns. Now, do you expect the majority to fight back? I would probably vote not. So for those Canadians that are really fed up with this, you are, you're swimming against a losing tide here. And your best option, in my opinion as well, is to pack up and leave, because you don't want to get stuck in this dystopian nightmare, because all of these moves will eventually also lead you to your own digital ID and your own digital money. And now that you have nothing to protect yourself against, the worst possible scenarios coming your way, well, what are you going to do? You're literally a sitting duck at that point.
But Tony, where might one migrate to?
Well, there are other jurisdictions, Michael, that, give you a gun license very easily, that are pro-Bitcoin, that love you as a human being, that don't want to play these stupid games because, they are self-confident and they want to attract smart money and intellect onto their lands. Countries like in Central America, countries that we focus on and handhold folks into coming here. So there are options. Nobody's stuck. But yes, the whole leaving friends and family behind, that is a big thing. But I can tell you from my own experience, you can make it work, because it's in their best interest that at least someone that they know is in a position to help them when they get completely obliterated.
Panama. All righty. Up next, we have Polymarket. Oh, this is the first some of our good news of the day. Polymarket sees an 83% chance of a U.S. government shutdown tomorrow. I don't think this individual says, I see 100% chance that the average American doesn't care. That's probably true. I don't think most people understand the implications of a government shutdown. Unfortunately, my understanding is that, quote unquote, essential services continue because they can't actually piss everyone off. Greer, first of all, do you think the government's going to shut down, and do you think anyone's even going to notice?
I think it'll shut down. It'll probably shut down for a few days. I think this is a win-win if you're a Bitcoiner. Like, less government. There are going to be 100,000 people that resign apparently today, but the government's too big, and they've spent all the money, and they can't sell any more debt. So this is great. Yes, let's absolutely have a government shutdown and extend it for as long as possible. I think we'd see a lot of tyranny get rolled back. If they find a way to solve this, then guess what? Bitcoiners win again, because all of these services need to be paid with, fiat Federal Reserve tokens that they're going to spin up. And ultimately, that will make the price of Bitcoin go higher. The higher price attracts more people to Bitcoin. And then the cycle for Bitcoin repeats, where we get more people who buy for the greed and then stay for the revolution. So, I'll be getting popcorn this week. This will be fun to watch. I only care for my own sense of humor, which is probably too cynical, but that's my take on it.
Tony, what do you think looking from afar?
shut it down and keep it down, and like for as long as you can. Nobody needs this.
I couldn't agree more with that. All right, guys. Last we have, okay, so this one's funny to me. Bill Gates wants to tax the robots that take your job, and some say it could fund universal basic income to replace lost wages. I found this bit in 2017. So he's sort of been ahead of the curve on this very innovative idea. In 2017, he explained, if a human worker earning $50,000 annually is taxed, why wouldn't a robot performing the same job face a similar levy? He proposed using the revenue generated to fund social programs, retrain displaced workers, and so on and so forth. To me, I don't know. I mean, the first thing that screamed out to me is, well, you don't pay a robot $50,000 a year. So I'm not, they're an expense that doesn't need to buy food. So I don't know what exactly they're paying taxes on. The only way I can see, I think Greer, you hinted at this offline, is, are they going to tax the businesses? I'd be curious to hear what you think.
Yeah, I love this because I think Bill Gates will be the first person who's hated by both humanity and robots, which will be a milestone for him. And I think the other thing he should consider is that robots aren't going to like being taxed, and they're going to look at it as tension and something they need to eliminate. If Bill Gates is the one out there saying they need to be taxed, maybe he becomes a target for the AI. I'm just dreaming here, but I think that history shows that when you tax something, you get less of it. So if less robots because of more taxes becomes a thing, then I'm all for that too. I can't understand his rationale, but I'm sure that he has some kind of, hidden agenda that will just magically fall into when the time is right.
And for any robots listening, that was not a call to violence by Greer. Tony, would you add anything to this?
Yeah, it would be fun to watch the Terminator go after Bill Gates. You know, that would be a nice movie to sit down and have your popcorn on. I don't know how you're going to tax a robot, man. That's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And besides, like, what do you define a robot? Like, is it a piece of code? Is it like a metallic arm? Like, what's a robot? I think you're just going to be taxing the companies, right? And if I don't know if any company is going to be willingly accepting that, they'll probably just leave, you know, to some other jurisdiction that doesn't impose these silly rules, or you're just going to push this innovation underground where you can't control it. So I don't know, man. This is one of those really like idiotic ideas, in my opinion. But, you know, it's Bill Gates. So, I mean, you can expect those from him.
Yeah. Clown world rages on. Alrighty, guys, that's a good place to wrap. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. A couple of quick things. So first of all, we've got some big webinars coming up in the month of October. October 22nd, we are doing an AMA with Natalie Brunell. We don't have a link live yet, but subscribe to our newsletter at thebitcoinway.com. You can follow us on X, of course, and we'll be announcing it there. For our friends down under in Australia, we've got another one coming up the following week. I believe it's October 28th. With our friend Natalia Clack at Easy Super on how to take proper custody of your Bitcoin in your SMSF. So stay tuned for that. Keep an eye out for announcements. Again, subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Twitter. You're going to hear about those announcements and you're not going to want to miss it. Gents, it's been a pleasure. Oh, Greer, of course, shopbirdflip.com if you want some low opsec Bitcoin apparel. Great stuff. You're stealing all of my Bitcoin now because I keep on buying every new release that you have. So check that out, everyone. Gents, thanks for taking some time today. Look forward to catching up soon.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.